Jason Cunningham from The Practice, brought to you by FIFO Capital, the money lenders for small business looking to grow.
Nice to see you, Jace. Welcome in, mate, on a Friday.
Thanks, Jim. How are you, pal?
Well, we're not overly happy, Bill and I, because we did buy, we're one of the few to buy a ticket for the 100 mil and didn't greet the bloody judges.
$100 million, a lot of money.
That's a fair bit of kanga. I've got a way. I'm going to guarantee you to show you a way where you can win. A lotto.
No, you're not.
No. Here, now work with
now,
me.
Did you say you're going to guarantee us?
I'm going to guarantee. What I'm going to offer you is this, right? I'm going to guarantee you a quick, easy, surefire way to make $500,000, right? Now, I spoke to my young brother this morning. He doesn't mind a punt, and he had a run at it last night. He had a run at it the week before. He told me he spent $120 the week before on the lotto.
Yep.
And he made himself $30. And then last night, he spent about $40 and he made $100. So to cut a long story short,
he's about breaking even.
He's breaking even. Yep. He spent $150 in 2 weeks. If you halve it, it's, say, $75 a week.
Yep.
There's only one way to make money, right? And that's to do it slowly, I reckon.
To work hard.
To work hard, to do it slowly. But let me just tell you about what Albert Einstein refers to as the eighth wonder of the world, which is compounding interest. And the best way, we've mentioned it before in our show, Jim, and the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. I said to my brother, if you were to take $50 a week, and rather than put it on Tatsalo, put $50 away every week for the remaining 40 years that you're going to work for, you know you'll end up with $500,000.
There you go. $50, you can happily part with that.
So $50 is a lot of money, Bill.
It is.
Don't get me wrong, but my brother's run around throwing $75 away a week. I'm saying to you, $50 over 5 working days is $10 a day.
So where do I take that out of?
Well, it's easier to find.
My lunch money?
Well, no. There's a whole different avenues where we could find the money, whether it's,
Quit smoking.
Yeah, get off the darts, get off the...
Froffies.
Get off the sauce,
Become a boring bastard.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
That's what you're saying.
I reckon, William Brownless, I reckon every punter should be able to find themselves $10 a day.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying to you is this. Right. If you were to put $50 away every week for the rest of your working life, you'll end up with $500,000. You'll end up investing about $110,000 of physical cash, but the big balance is about $380,000
of compounding interest.
Mm. So then it got me thinking, right?
Right.
This has all got to do...
Do you have to pay tax on that compounding interest?
Yeah, you do, but it's a very small amount. Right. It got me thinking about, for most people that make money, it's all to do with the mindset, right? And it's the approach that we take. And I've often referred to comparing ourselves with the way elite sports teams approach things versus the way we do as business owners or we do as individuals. So if you take an elite sporting team, say take an AFL side, they look at three things, right? First, they're crystal clear on the game that they're playing.
Yep. Game plan.
Secondly, they know what winning or success looks like to them, right? And then the third thing is they got a plan, right? If you relate that back to us, most of us don't know the game that we're playing. Most of us don't know what winning looks like because all we think about what winning looks like is what our neighbour's doing. I want to keep up with the Joneses. I want to keep up with the Brownlesses. Yes. I want to keep up with the Brayshaws. And all
impossible.
Sort of, impossible. Yeah. But you look at the AFL, of the 18 sides, not every side this year is going to win a flag.
No.
And they're well aware of that. So what winning looks like for sides that are in the bottom eight or the bottom four is different than what winning looks like for the sides in the top four. Because if all their benchmark was an AFL premiership, they'd be failures every year.
Absolutely.
So be happy with what you've got.
Yeah, exactly. Work out what winning looks like for you, Bill.
Yes.
Right?
Not for the next door neighbor.
No.
Buys a new car every year.
No. Then secondly, develop a plan, right? Now, there's a part to this that I think is very important, which I spoke earlier about, which is your mindset. Now, we all have a different aptitude and a different attitude to money. And what I've done is I've worked out 6 different types of birds because I think that we'd fall into one of these categories. So the first is the ostrich. Right, and the ostrich reminds me of my dear old mum. You know, ostrich, bit of a head in the sand.
Yes,
you don't want to know about it.
Yes.
The second is the chicken. You know, bit scaredy cat. Don't know where.
We know what a chicken is.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes,
yeah, it was.
Bill normally does the noises on this show.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just new to the team here. Yeah, but you know, a chicken doesn't know where he should invest his money. Should I put it in the bank? Should I put it in shares? Should I do it in property?
Yep.
And they end up doing nothing, right?
Yep.
The third is the peacock, and we all know the peacock.
Yeah,
look at me, Bill, splashing the cash, got the grouse car, the grouse suit, but no substance behind it.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, as they say in Texas, all hat and no cattle.
I love that saying. The next is the complete opposite. This is the magpie. You don't really like spending money. You know those long pockets and short arms
My
sort of
brother.
People? Yeah,
yep.
The kookaburra. He's too busy laughing, you know, laugh, kookaburra, laugh, having a
but
great
time. He's having fun.
He's having fun, but just like not worrying about tomorrow. And then the final one is the eagle. And the eagle is the one that sort of soars above and takes the long-term view, right? Now, I'm not saying either is right or wrong, but I'm saying work out which one you are and then develop a strategy to combat that. So let's say, for the sake of the argument, you're one of those people that love to splash the cash and you love to spend more than
Jim's
you earn.
Jim's the peacock.
Yeah, well, there we go. So, Jim. So let's use James Brayshaw as an example. Now, I know this is true. If I were to hand James $1,000, right, 20 crisp $50 notes.
He'd spend it all.
Well, and then compared that with the following weekend and gave him a $1,000 credit card, I reckon he'd find it easier to spend the credit card because it's tap and go, tap and go. Yes. Every time you hand it over a crispy 50, it hurts you.
It hurts you a bit.
It hurts you a bit,
right? Part with the folding
That's
stuff.
That's right. So the other side of the coin is if you've got $1,000 in your wallet and you then went and spent 100, you go, oh, well, I've still got 900 left.
Yes.
So the key for someone like you, Jim, who doesn't mind spending according to Bill,
yes,
is maybe put a few less bits of kanga in your wallet so you don't you don't spend as much and keep away that credit card. Because the credit card, as you know, is a bit of tap and go and then forget about it.
Kills you, Jason.
The problem comes 30 days later.
Interest smashes you.
Yep.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'll wear that.
Remember this.
I am a credit card disgrace.
You are.
Yeah?
You wouldn't know.
I do know.
Well, the only reason is because I pay. That's how come you know.
But you are. You too.
Too much debt on credit cards. I will. Now, we need to get to a break, Jace. We've got more on this.
I'm the more the eagle.
No, I don't think you are.
Eagle, really?
The only bit you are is the bald part of the eagle. Now, we were just talking about which type of bird you are and whether the different
ostrich
or the chicken and all the rest of it, which are very nice analogies for people and their ability or inability to actually put money away. Mm. Let's say we can fix that.
Yep.
We align ourselves with one of the birds and we go, right, we need to fix it. And I've got my $50.
That's it.
And I can put it away every week and or every month, whichever one it is, and I can start to get the compounding interest you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Where then do you put it? Because I reckon, Jace, lots of people listening would remember the old pyramid and they'd go, how do I trust anyone with my money to get this compounding interest happening?
In Geelong, they would.
Well, and particularly in light of the Royal Commission, Jim. You know, there's a lot of dirty, yucky stories that are coming out. So I guess the first thing is, we go back to I spoke about what does winning look like and what's your game plan. The first thing is you've got to work out what works for you and your family, right? So we might have three people, Bill, yourself and myself, but we've all got three different situations, right? So the first thing is, depends on your time frame. How long are you prepared to invest the money?
Yep.
Now, if you said to me, Jay, look, I'm looking to save to buy a house, I'd say just put it in cash. That's the safest option for you. If your window or your time frame's only 2 or 3 years, I reckon just stick it in cash because that's where it's safe.
All right, the compounding interest one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where am I putting that?
Well, if you're from a long term play,
so how far is this? How many years?
I'm talking 7+ years,
righto.
10+ years,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
10 years, we're saying, yeah. Righto.
So what you want is you want some transparency around where your money's at, right? So I'd be looking at an investment, like a managed investment, where someone could manage it for me, someone that I trust. Now, the best way to find out someone that you can trust is two things. The first is get a referral from somebody that's experienced them.
Right.
So not anyone that advertises. I'd rather get word of mouth referral. Hey, go and see my bloke. I've been dealing with this person for 10 years. They've looked after me. That's good for me. The second thing is ask the person that's managing your money, where do they put their money?
Right.
Right. So if they're putting their money, where their mouth is, or if they're putting their mouth where their money is and whatever that saying is.
So what are you doing then?
Well, so for me, I invest my
quickly.
Money. Sorry, Bill, I know I'm boring. I invest my money across a diverse range. So I put some in Australian shares.
Yes.
I put some in international shares and I put some in international non-US.
How do you do it?
Every month.
Yes.
There's a direct debit that comes out of my bank account.
Right.
Goes into a managed investment that I get full transparency on. I know where my money's invested.
Right.
I can see what shares it is.
Someone does that for you.
Someone
basically.
Does it. Yeah. Yep. So my financial advisor, who's my business partner, he does that for me.
Right, okay.
And so every month
direct
I get
debit.
Direct debit, and I get access to looking at my portfolio. Because I know this, Bill.
Yes.
The more money I earn,
the more
I will spend. So what I do is if I get a pay rise, which I do, when I get a pay rise, I say, right, of that pay rise, this is how much I'm going to have for me to celebrate. Well done, Jay. You're a good boy. And the rest I'm putting away. Mm. And so.
Any to the missus?
Everything is my wife's.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good to be in love. But we have some shifty accounts, which I can talk about later. No.
Yes.
You know, they can only get half of what they know you've got, Evo. Remember that? That's a bit of advice for you.
Be careful with that, Jay.
Bill and I know a bit about that.
No, but I go back to that. It's very similar if you want to get in shape. You know, people are, you know, if they've got a vice, whether it's grog or whether it's pizza or whether it's chocolate, if it's sitting in the fridge, you'll end up eating it. You might be able to hold off for 1 or 2 or 3 days, but if you've got a six pack in the fridge, you'll eventually just jam the cans in, right? Yep. My point is this. If the cans aren't in the fridge, you can't drink them, right? So it's like Survivor. When you go on Survivor and you're in the middle of the desert, it's not as if you're smacking down burgers and eating pizzas and drinking cans. That's why they all drop weight, because it's not there. The same point holds true with the Kanga. If the money's not in your wallet, Jim, or if it's not in the bank account and you've put it away, have it so it's accessible so that you can draw back on it if you need it when there's an emergency.
All right. So what? Tell us what they realistically that account should be able to do for you. Because we were just talking off air about one of the issues with the ones that have collapsed is they were guaranteeing 20%, which is unrealistic. Yeah, yeah, so what sort of numbers should people be able to get you?
So the numbers that I gave you before about putting 50 bucks away was based on 5.5% return over the journey. Right. Now that is quite achievable. If you look at the share market performance, the Australian share market, I think its performance over the last 30 years on average is about 9.5%.
Right.
So I'm saying bring it down to 5.5%. I think that's the first thing. Second thing, when you hear stories about 20% return and all that sort of stuff, you know the saying, if it waddles like a duck and it quacks like a duck, chances are it's a duck.
Okay, so people listening will say to you, but Jase, if it's 9.5%, why can't you get me that? Not you necessarily, but the financial advisor.
What will happen is if you look over the journey, what happens is with the market, because share prices are
volatile,
it just throws a word in randomly. But because the share price is mentioned, people buy shares every day, it's the average. So some years you'll get 18%, the next year you'll get minus 2%, the year after that will be 5%. Over the average, you're looking at about 9%.
Right. Hey, good seeing you, mate. Thanks very much for dropping by. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jim.
Good on you, Jay.
This is general advice only and does not take into account your particular circumstances, such as your objectives, financial situation, and needs. Consider obtaining personal financial advice before making financial decisions.